Greetings and blessings and welcome for this Wednesday live stream opportunity. Special heart and love and prayers go out to our local church family here in Peacehaven on the south coast of England. It's a wet, cold, windy, rainy day today, so it's a nice day to be locked in one sense, but nevertheless, we're all dealing with the lockdown. It has its challenges for all of us, but we're thankful for this window, thankful for technology and this window of opportunity to open the Word, to bring our hearts afresh together before the Lord. We don't want to get to the end of lockdown and think, oh, yeah, where is the Bible? Where is the church? Where are my brothers and sisters? No. Sunday mornings, Wednesday mornings, we're connecting and just staying refreshed in the Word, as well as other ways that we can do that in our own devotional and different ways. So God bless you this morning. We're praying for each other. We're remembering our church family, praying for our land, our country, and the world in this strange time. So let's go to the Word together, and let's start with a prayer, okay? Oh, Father, we thank you that any moment, any time, any place, we can draw near to you. And we do that right now together. We just take off our shoes. We draw near to your presence. We thank you for your presence in our lives, your grace, your favor, your love towards us this morning. And we thank you for your Spirit in us. We pray you would quicken us and teach us. And speak to us through your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. On Sunday, we had a sermon, Take Heed and Guard Your Heart. And there was a great response from that message. I think it spoke to our hearts. We started in the book of Deuteronomy. We'll continue from there today. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, we remember Deuteronomy is where Moses is on the banks of the Jordan. He's on the plains of Moab. He's with the new generation. And they're just about to go over to the promised land. And what would his last words and what would his last charge and exhortation be to that new generation? And he speaks to them, and through a series of sermons, he says, oh, listen, take heed, guard your heart. Ensure that you don't forget, but you always remember. Call to mind the what you've seen, what you've heard, the privilege that you have in your life as people, that God is in your life. And he really brings this to focus for them. He gives them the warning that when they come into the land, they will be tempted to just go the way of the Canaanites with idolatry and sin of different kinds. And of course, we saw some New Testament warnings that is the same for us as 21st century Christians, that we are warned not to go the way of the Canaanites, not to go the way of the world, but to take heed, have a guarded heart, be sure that we are spirit-filled every day and we are discerning and looking unto the Lord, and not just living a natural life, because it's so easy to live a natural life, isn't it? It's so easy that we become indifferent or distant or carnal or familiar. These are important words. Familiarity is perhaps the greatest enemy for the Christian, because when you become familiar with the things of God, it's the beginning of the end, that you can lose so much. So we avenge that. And the opposite to familiarity, we could say, is a reverence, a sense of God's presence and purpose in my life, in this moment. And to come into that sense of reverence, we draw near to God. We look to him, we pray to him, we open his Word, and he quickens our hearts. And this is a battle that faces all of us every day. Some may be listening thinking, oh boy, I'm sure that Graham and other people in the church, they've got it down. They are like super Christians. They've like graduated from the flesh or something. But no, Every one of us, every day, we have that draw. One of the take heeds here in Deuteronomy 4, he says that there will be a drawing for you to serve, for you to fall into idolatry and to serve idols. Your heart will be drawn to that. And we understand that, that our souls cleave to the dust, that we can lose sight of the eternal, the purpose of God, the things of God. So be encouraged in that. It's not all of these super Christians over here and you are this weak growing Christian on your own over here. No, it's the same for all of us. Psalm 26:12 says we stand on even ground, and every morning, I don't know about you, but I don't wake up to the sound of the hallelujah chorus and this orange glow of anointing and angels singing in my room. And no, it's not like that. You just get up with the flesh and the details of life and the challenges and our emotions and all of those things that could drag us down like anyone else. But we have learned how to look to God, how to trust God. And we're on a journey together. And that's a beautiful thing. Be encouraged in that. So four times in this chapter, he says to take heed. We look at verse 9, for example. Take heed. Take heed to yourselves and give your soul diligently so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. And you and I, we are charged as believers with a sense of stewardship that we are to keep our soul, to be refreshed, to be quickened every day, that it would not depart from our heart all the days of our life. And he says in verse 32, "For ask now concerning the former days which were before you since the day God created man on the earth. Inquire from one end of heavens to the other. Has anything been done like this, or anything been heard in it, where the people hear the voice of God speaking to them?" And we said, okay, of course, we're not at the fiery mount of Sinai and hearing the voice of God in that sense. But we understand that 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is inspired. This is his word. We are his people. And he has revealed himself from heaven to earth to us. What a privilege. And we could ask that question there in verse 32. You know, ask where has this happened? On the earth, or ask from one end of heaven to the other, that God has revealed himself to men. And we can say as Christians, this is at the center of the gospel, that God so loved the world, he sent his son. His son revealed himself to us. And these things, this was done, verse 35, that you might know that there is no other God but him. And verse 39, that you would consider this. Where is it? Take it to your heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above all other, that you would consider this in your heart. And we need to do that, don't we? To consider in our heart these amazing truths and realities. And we thought about some of the New Testament warnings as well. 1 John, all the way through 1 John, it writes about the fellowship, the assurance, the joys of the Christian life, and ends with that, keep yourself from idols. Amen. And we said, how do we keep ourselves from idols? Well, we will worship something. So we have to ensure that we're worshiping that which we were made to worship, and that is God. And if you're not worshiping God, then you fall to idolatry. But if you are worshiping God, that's how we keep ourselves from idols. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So here's the question. How do you stand against the wiles of the devil? Put on the armor of God. How do you keep yourself from idols? Worship the true God. 1 Peter 5:7, be sober and vigilant, knowing this, that your adversary, the devil, goes to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfastly in the faith. So how do you resist him? By standing in the definite article faith, not your faith, but the faith, standing in the truths of the gospel. And 2 Peter 3:17 speaks about falling from your steadfastness, and verse 18 speaks about growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So how do you ensure that you are not falling from your steadfastness? You make sure that you are growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And the last one here, Hebrews 4:1, where it speaks about the people of God who did not enter into the promised land, into the victories of the promised land. And verse 2 says they did not mix faith with the word. So how do we enter in? We mix faith. So we worship the true God. We put on the whole armor. We stand and resist him steadfast in the faith, etc. And we mix faith with the word of God. This is how we get victory in our life. For we don't want things to become natural. Right? You think that there is a natural default, if you like. If this isn't happening, this happens. And there is the natural default of each one of us is that our lives would be common, that our lives would be natural, that we would be carnal, that we would just gravitate to the dust, our soul cleaves to the dust. That's the natural default. But quicken me according to your word, for my soul cleaves to the dust, right? So we understand these two dynamics and the need to be quickened again according to his word again and again in Psalm 119:25. Now, just for our devotion this morning, look to Genesis 28. And here we pick up with Jacob in the wilderness, and he's in a place called Luz. And he had a dream, and of course the ladder on the earth with the top reaching into heaven, angels ascending and descend on it. And the Lord above it said to him, I am the Lord, the God of Isaac, Jacob, your fathers. And he reaffirms the covenant to Jacob. He says, I will be with you, I will bless you, etc. And Jacob awoke from the sleep, verse 16, and says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had under his head and set it as a pillar and poured oil upon its top. And he called the name of that place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz, L-U-Z. And it was Luz, and he renamed it Bethel. And the beautiful thing is that Luz means the place of the nut tree, because that's what was growing there. There were these fields and trees with the roots going into the ground and the trees coming up from the earth and bearing fruit of nuts, the fruit of the earth. But he called it Bethel because he says, this is the house of God, the gate of heaven. What a contrast, the earth and heaven. And this place was called Luz, and he renamed it and called it Bethel. And this is important in the believer's life, in your life and my life, that we make sure that we don't call the sacred things or the holy places common, but we allow the common places to become holy and sacred. We take Luz and we call it Bethel because God is with us, because we meet God there. We took off our shoes and God spoke to us, and the common things in our life become those things which are sacred. The seemingly mundane things in life, with the practical details of life, parenting and in your relationships and in your job and in the workplace and cleaning the house or whatever it might be, those things can become sacred and special and blessed and holy. There's a book I read years ago when I was in Bible college. You know, you have these classic books that leave an imprint on your life. And this one was by some type of monk. I don't know, a Franciscan monk or something. Brother Lawrence. And it was called Practicing the Presence of God. And in that book, Brother Lawrence, he made a discovery in his life that even doing those menial tasks like cleaning and sweeping and washing up. He's washing up dishes and he suddenly realized, I can do this to the glory of God. And he began to look up in his heart as he was doing it and communing with God. And that which was something that he could have easily started to complain about became something that he found privilege in, something that was set apart unto God. And that's how it can be in our life, that we set apart our lives unto God. We set apart the things that we do unto God. 1 Peter 3:15, that we set apart the Lord God in our hearts. That sanctification is something that is purposed in our hearts and lives. So pick up that phrase there. He called the name of the place Bethel. And I think we need to do that in our Christian lives. We need to call the name of this place Bethel. How awesome is this place? For God is here. For God is present with me. God speaks to my heart. God quickens me according to his word. And afterwards I say, oh, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And I was like, wow. I was with the Lord. In 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, he has called you with a holy calling. What does that mean? How do you evaluate your own life? Maybe you beat yourself up more than you do build yourself up, and that needs to change. That God has a holy calling on your life, that you are a saint. We have this idea that saints are a certain elite type of Christian. But no, the Bible says that we, every believer, is a saint, because the word saint means to be set apart unto God. We are his people. You are a saint. You have a holy calling. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And how easy it could be for us to evaluate our life naturally, but we must evaluate our life in light of the scriptures. And the Bible says that we are saints with a holy calling, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't those truths change our perspective? That we begin to realize that God is indwelling us and desires to commune with us, that we are not the same as the world. We are not of the world. We are not the same as an unbeliever, but for they are separated from God and they don't know God. But we are his people. Are we perfect? No. Are we on a journey? Yes. Do we sometimes fail? Yes. Do we stumble and struggle and face temptation? Yes, of course. But nevertheless, we are God's people, and we learn how to call Luz Bethel. We definitely don't want to do it the other way and call Bethel Luz, right? And some people in their Christian lives, they do this too easily. Look at this verse in Ecclesiastes 5. I've always loved these couple of verses. Verse 1, guard your steps as you go into the house of God. The King James says, keep your foot when you go into the house of God. Or the New King James, walk prudently when you go into the house of God. You get the picture. Be very careful with each step as you come into the house of God. And draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up any matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. What is it saying here? How easy it could be for me to be naturally minded, and I come into the church, for example, and it's commonplace, and I'm familiar with the people, I'm familiar with this book and the songs, and I'm losing something. I am calling Bethel Luz. I am being naturally minded, which is fine. We understand that. Oh, but be careful and be open and say, oh God, I don't want to be naturally minded. I want you to quicken me. I want you to speak to me. And then before you know it, you enter into his presence. And when you sing the songs, they're not just songs, but it's worship. When you hear these words, it's not just a book, but it's God's word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul commended the Thessalonians, saying, when you hear the word of God, you hear it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And so we say, oh, not Luz, but Bethel. But not just church, and when we go to the church building on a Sunday morning, but all many different areas and aspects of our life, we choose to allow the commonplace to become holy. For there we can meet with God, for our life to be set apart as his people. Isn't that a beautiful principle? Not to call Bethel Luz, but to call Luz Bethel. To take off our shoes, to in the moment just to recognize, oh God, you are with me, you are for me, you are my God, and you are present with me. And just take a few moments, open the Bible, read a psalm, read a verse, and speak a prayer, and in Jesus' name, amen. And I open my eyes and I say, wow, this is awesome, this place. For this is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven, for I was with the Lord. And that's how we think, and that's how we live our lives as his people set apart unto him on a journey of faith. Amen. So God bless you. Have a great day with his amazing grace and blessings on your life. In Jesus' name, amen.